Oh, Father, be exalted. Be exalted. Be exalted above every other name. Every other thing that exalts its name against your name. Be exalted above, far above every other name. Thank you, Father. You're worthy of praise. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
All right. I want to share with you tonight a little bit, partly to inspire you to work on increasing your faith. And partly to encourage you to be a persuader of other people. There are people around you who desperately need encouragement, need healing, need deliverance, need peace. And it all comes out of this wonderful gift that God has given us, this gift of faith. If you neglect it, I'm just putting you in remembrance how many times when there was a breakthrough, a miraculous breakthrough, Jesus attributed it. He just stopped and he could have even just himself taken full credit. You know, see what I did? He could have done that, but he didn't. He said, your faith, look what your faith did for you. Your faith has made you whole, he'd tell them. And then sometimes when the disciples couldn't get something done, one time they were trying and they couldn't get something done. And they said, how come you could do that and we couldn't? And Jesus said, it was because of your little faith. And that word little there, and when you look it up, it's not just a, you know, small, it's puny. It's your puny faith. And, you know, he was looking at his disciples when he said that. And that's not criticism. That's supposed to be inspiration. You know, give yourself over to the building up of your faith. Those of you that know something about charisma or charis, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, building yourself up in the most holy faith. So I'm going to take time. And then the other point tonight that I want to share with you is the battle that's going on. There's an argument that's going on. And, you know, a lot of times when you argue, the bigger guy wins. Sometimes when you argue and it's of just a vocal, it looks like the guy who with the loudest voice wins. And I want the voice. See, I'm not talking about outward things now, physical things. I'm talking about, I want your voice in the Lord to get strong. And that doesn't mean you've got to holler out loud. That means you can release a strong voice, a strong voice of faith. And that'll be the one that wins the argument. We have so many times, remember, I remember one time having a scale up here, the kind of scale where you put a weight on one side versus a weight on the other side. Does everybody know you've got more than one report going on in your life right now? All of us know that, don't we? In different areas, you know? And so I go and I hear this is what they say. And so they put that weight on this side of the scale and it tips over. And then I hear it again and they put another load on there and another load on there. And before long, my life is so out of kilter. It's tilted in one direction. I'm having trouble walking even, having trouble keeping my balance. And I want you to understand that there's an argument going on. And there's a voice that needs to speak louder. And the power of agreement, the power that you have to agree with the voice of the Lord. When he said, all power is given unto me, it'd be real easy for us to say, well, if all power is given unto you, then do it. But how many of you know where he went from there? He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, and I give you that power. That word there is exousy, it's authority. I give you that authority. He's passing it on to us. So to grow in faith is what I want to minister to you tonight for a few moments. I got some notes up here. Some of you like that. Some of you don't. Don't have to look at it if you don't want to. If it's too much information, just go to TMI and let it fall off. But some of it will get hold of you, I hope, and will take root in you. The word faith in the scriptures is this word in the Greek in the New Testament. It's pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. And that's a Greek word. And here's what the definition is. If you wonder what faith is, it's what you're fully persuaded of. So somebody says, do you have faith? And so now remember when that Jesus said, it's because of your puny faith that you couldn't get something done. Notice he didn't say it's not because you don't have faith. He didn't say that. He said, it's because of your puny faith. In other words, they had, here's what I want you to get tonight. There was an argument going on, and they were losing the argument. They had something. I think they were hearing both voices, but one was so much louder than the other that the scales were so tilted that they could not get him to swing over the other side. I want to just come and bring you hope tonight. Hallelujah. That as you, we can build your faith up. You can grow. You can increase. They came to Jesus one time and said, increase our faith. One time, several times. I don't know how many times in the New Testament. I quit when I got to three or four as I was doing this little faith study here, getting ready for tonight. Because just in your own concordance, you can look it up and say, faith and and as I did, I said in the Gospels, here we go, one time, three, four, five times. O ye of little faith. O ye of little faith. O ye of little faith. I didn't want to read it anymore. I didn't want to hear that spoken over me. And so I could just say, well, Lord, you know, that's not me. But how many of you know that that's probably me? And so that, again, is not putting me down in a place where there's no hope. I think he's speaking that to us. That, listen, there's hope here. And you've got to learn to build your faith up. And so, all right, this word, what you're fully persuaded of. I got off in this study. Here's how I started with the word persuaded. Some of my favorite Bible verses have the word persuaded in them. I am persuaded. I don't know what you're persuaded of. Actually, my daughter, Jerusha, even though she's in college now, she took speech in high school, but now in her freshman year at KU, she's having to prepare a persuasive speech for a group. And so I was having to help her. And so I said, Jerusha, let's look up the word persuaded and see what a persuasive speech is. I mean, she had the guidelines from her speech class of what she's supposed to do, but this helped us to get inside so that she would know. The reason that you want to give a person, I'm already on step number three here, but I'll jump ahead. Your life can persuade somebody else. Yes. Amen. There's all kinds of pictures of that. Let your light so shine that others will believe in God too. See, that's you persuaded somebody. I heard a testimony, my brother Jim, the other night. We were sitting talking and we was talking about a friend of his. Where'd you meet him? At a tobacco shop, a pipe shop or something. Yeah, at a pipe shop. And he met a fella that God used to change his life, shared his faith with him. He's in a time of crisis in his life and transition, and fella just shared his faith with him. He'll never be the same because of it. Here's my points. Somebody had to have faith. And then out of this faith, what you're fully persuaded of. Now, this is going to be hard for you to get, I think. It's been a challenge for me to understand that. I hear Mike Postlewaite say this all the time, but until it becomes rhema, you know, he keeps telling me that I'm whole and complete in my spirit, man. And this is what I wanted to tell you now, that God has given you a measure of faith. not just you because he loved you in particular, but where's it at? Romans 12, verse 3. To every man, everybody say every. To every man, there's been given a measure of faith. Yes. See? And then he goes on to say, what you do with it now is up to you. And what you do with it is going to determine whether it's going to grow and become active. And when it becomes active, it's going to do things in your life. And it's also going to be used to start persuading some other people and spreading that. So out of this first word, pistis, faith. So I was helping Jerusha. I said, Jerusha, let's look up this word and see in the Bible what the Bible has to say about a persuasive speech. If there's any persuasive speeches in the Bible. And what do we find some? That's just a speech that when somebody speaks with some kind of authority and it gets a hold of somebody else and changes their life, changes their perspective. Boy, the Lord's such a marvelous persuasive speech giver. Amen. All right. So I looked up the word persuaded, and this is interesting. This, pitho, is the Greek word for persuaded, and the root word for pitho is pistis. In other words, persuasion comes out of faith. And of course, the definition of faith is what you're fully persuaded of. Okay, what you're fully convinced of. Now, so persuaded, here's the definition. It means to be inwardly certain. And it's to convince by argument. And when I saw that word argument, it started making sense to me that I have more than one thing speaking to me. There's more than one voice going off here. And this is why it's necessary that I give myself over and become a person of faith, become a man of faith, become a woman of faith. Amen. Because see, there's more than one thing being spoken over you. And we know, you know, it's we give mental assent to it, but that's the true report. I know, but if you don't get fully persuaded of it, and what that means is, let's get back on the scale. We're going to agree with him until the scale tips this way. Yeah. Fully persuaded. Can you get the picture of, I'm starting to get... How many of you feel like you've been on the teeter-totter? Yes. You tilt. I used to play a pinball machine. You hate it when the tilt thing comes up there. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to be tilted. The game's over. But I'm trying to believe. Do everybody remember the one that came to Jesus? And Jesus told him, says, you can have this. If you'll only believe. And he answered back and said, I believe, Lord. Help my unbelief. Everybody see the scale? Do you see that? Look, what I came tonight to tell you is that we keep waiting sometimes for God. When's he going to tilt my scale? And I think God sometimes is just waiting for us. When are they going to tilt the scale? When are they going to... One of the mighty prophets of God, Elijah, came to the people. And you know how they were living? When they saw it, everything was lovely. He said, yep, he's God. And then when they didn't, he said, well, you know, either we messed up or he's not keeping his word or whatever. And yes. Elijah stood up and said, how long are you going to be at a halt between two? Do you ever, you know that? Straddling the fence, uncomfortable. It says, won't you just come over and be fully persuaded? Somebody says, well, how do I do that? You know, I'm trying to do that. Well, I'm going to give you some ways tonight a little bit. So to be persuaded is to be inwardly certain. Now, I want you to know where it has to start. Because I just want to take all the emphasis off of the outward right now. Because somebody says, well, I'll believe it when I see it out here. Maybe you ought to turn it around and say, I'll see it when I believe it in here. Because this is the definition of the word. The guy who used this word more than anyone else in the scripture is the Apostle Paul. And you know what he said? I'm persuaded. Tell me some of the things he's persuaded of. Is he... I'm persuaded. You know what was going on with him right there when he's saying, I'm persuaded that there's nothing that's going to separate me from the love of God. Well, first of all, do you hear the argument going on? Do you hear something saying to him, you're losing it? You're on your way out? You're defeated? See, there was an argument going on. And he had to get fully persuaded. And so he had to rehearse this. I'm telling you, if somebody said, you know, physically, you need to eat this, this, and this, and this. If you do, you're going to get strong, and you're going to overcome whatever that particular ailment is. And if you don't, you're not going to. How many of you are smart enough to say, well, I think I'll choose to start eating that. I think I'll do that. And here we are now with the Word of God. But for some reason, the enemy has so made spiritual life so ethereal, so distant, so... Can you mind if I tell you we are spiritually lazy? Do you mind if I tell you that if somebody says, you know, if you want to, let's just do muscles. You want to build your body up? See, I'm going to be 71 now, and my body, every now and then I start to do what I used to be able to do, and I realize I can't do it now, because, see, I've lost some stuff. I can't pick that up. There's some things that I can't do right now, and I spend more time sitting than I used to. But if I want to build that up, you've got to exercise that. You've got to. You can't say, well, and it's not a mind thing. So I'll just think that I'm strong. Because there's a whole lot of that going on in the body of Christ right now. And if you believe in spiritual food, eat. If you believe in spiritual drink, drink. He said, if you'll drink of this water that I give you, it will start bubbling up inside you, and it'll keep springing up into life eternal. There will be springs of living water rising up out of you. And if we feel like, well, that's not where I'm living, then drink. Then somebody says, well, you know, give me a 2-liter, whatever, big gulp. So how do you do that? So I'm talking about, boy, if there's a place you can get and sit where the presence of the Lord is, if there are teaching tapes you can sit under and let yourself be washed with the Word of God, If there's a place where there's worship going on and the Holy Spirit, you get in that place and you feel those spiritual goosebumps come over you and you know you're in the presence of the Lord. Those are all opportunities to build up your spirit, man. We don't take this thing lightly. We're in a life and death situation here. I don't care what the doctor said about you. I'm talking about if the doctor said that you're perfectly healthy, you're still in a life and death situation. The enemy has targeted you. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come. Do you hear the argument? There's two things spoken here. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, either you're going to lean toward one way or lean toward the other way. How long will you be at a halt between two? Get off the teeter-totter. And let's just turn toward him. Turn toward him. Let's look full in his wonderful face. Turn your heart toward Jesus. If you were living in that part of the world, you know, when we were in Africa, a good part of the company there, the populace there was Muslim. And we're in the bank, and the chime goes off. It means it's a certain hour of the day. And people that were in line with the bank stopped, got out of the line, pulled out a little mat that they had wrapped up back there in their back, set it down, and they all turned the same direction. And they got down on their knees. And Candy and I stood in the midst of them and thought, well, first we thought, silly people, religious, you know. And then we were convicted that, my Lord, they believed so strongly that they stopped what they were doing, thought it was as important enough to get out of the line, get down and turn. Turn. Does everybody know what repentance is? See, we think it means quit being naughty. It means turn to Him. It means turn your life toward Him. God says, if my people will turn their heart toward me, turn toward my holy mountain, turn toward my holy city. That doesn't just mean turn toward Jerusalem, whatever direction that's going to be. It means turn toward Him. It's a spiritual thing. Turn toward Him. Ask Him for light to be able to behold Him and start seeing Him as He is. All right, here we go. There's an argument going on, and to be persuaded is to be convinced by argument. I started to ask you the question when Paul said, I'm persuaded, by the way, that is Romans, Romans 8, 7 through 9, probably. Oh, no, probably 38. We'll read them here in a minute. That nothing can separate me. There was an argument going on. He was really aware of it. Either he's locked up, had been beaten, he's in chains, he's in a prison. And he says, but nothing can separate me from the love of God. See, he heard the other side, but he had to come into agreement with what God was saying. Yes. He was on a ship, and the ship was shipwrecked. And everybody on the boat said, we're going down, there's no hope. But he heard from God. And he said, I've heard from the Lord this hour. And this is what the Lord says. We're all going to be saved. And so he heard it for himself. And it's not easy to stand up when they're all saying, everybody, let's take a vote. What do you think? I'm going down. What do you think? We're going down. What do you think? We're going down. You keep hearing that. You keep hearing that. You keep hearing that. But then he heard one thing that changed it all for him. And he became fully persuaded. And when he became fully persuaded, he started speaking to others. I got him as one of our examples there. From a prison cell, even before the situation is changed, he's saying, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Give thanks in every situation. This is God's will concerning you. He's not done with you yet. His hand's upon you. Amen. Let me just run through these scriptures. This is, it looks like A, that's not an EPA. This is Ephesians. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 9. 8 and 9. It says, you're saved by, how many know how you get saved? By grace through faith. Faith is through faith. We're saved by grace through faith. Now watch. And that, not of yourselves. This is some good news that I'm giving you right now. Because somebody says, well, I got to work real hard to get some faith. You're saved by grace through faith. And that, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. So it's the gift of God. That's why we did that that other verse here. Oh, Romans 12:3. To every man is given a measure of faith. Now what you do with it is going to be up to you. You're going to use it. You're going to come into agreement with it because you've got it in. If you listen, I don't care what the situation is. There's a still small voice. If you'll stop what you're doing in the other voices, there's a still small voice that's going to be the voice of truth. Amen. Romans 4, verse 21, this is the Abraham kind of faith, but Abraham would say have the God kind of faith. Do you know what the God kind of faith is? See, he's not telling you. He doesn't want you to try to have faith. He's wanting you to apply your heart to the voice of faith that you have. Because it's there, it's in you. It's a measure of faith is given you. You got to listen for that voice. Listen for that. There'll be an earthquake. There'll be a tornado. There'll be all the rushing wind stuff. But then the still, small voice of the Lord. Have the God kind of faith. And by the way, the God kind of faith does something. You know what it does? It calls things that are not as though they are. I'm building on, do you hear me? I'm talking to you about the argument that's going on. There's an argument that's going on. Somebody says, I mean, I don't care. The smartest people in the world say, but that is, you got your head somewhere. You need to get it out of there. They'll say, when you're trying to tell them the truth, that you've heard something from the Lord. But nonetheless, listen, agree with him. Come over to that side and agree with him. All right, praise God. Ephesians 2, do we do the verse 9 part of it? It's the gift of God, lest any man should boast. I want to make sure I did all that. Would you, Mary, would you open up to Romans, and you can do 8, 9, 7 and 9, 7 through 9, and then 38 and 39 in a minute. And David, would you mind getting to Acts and do those couple of Acts scriptures here in a minute, so I don't have to stop and turn to them? But let me read Ephesians 2, make sure I got all that right. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. You're saved by grace through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, lest any man should boast. Oh, okay. Praise God. Now, that Romans, let's do Romans 8, 7 through 9. Okay. The verse right before that, right before.
Will you be carnally minded is death?
Yeah, and then what comes right after that?
Okay. 6 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
There's the argument. Did everybody see the argument? Mm-hmm. Life and death. What do you do? Somebody says, well, you can't control that, can you? Then why did he say this? I set before you life and death. And then he encourages you. This is a persuasive speech. He's persuading you. Choose life. Then the next verse, Mary.
Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh.
There's the one I wanted you. Here comes the persuasive part of the Holy Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life. And he says, how many of you know we all have that carnal mind, but he puts a but in there, that turnaround interjection. I am persuaded better things than that of you. He's already said, you are not. See, I know you've got that flesh thing, but you are not of the flesh. You're of the Spirit. That's what he said, wasn't it?
Yes, yes.
All right. Now, before we do the next one, let me read this one little. There are some scriptures that I always avoided. And whenever I've run into those scriptures, I always find out that I never understood them rightly. You know, I always hated the one about every man will give a stand and give account before God for everything done in his body. And I always had this awful picture of, you know, all these people. Man, how that's going to be a long day. All these people lined up, giving up, you're telling all these stories of everything, every evil thought. My Lord. And you take that time, and all, you mean we're going to have to go through all that again? And it always scared me. And then I found that I had to balance it out with the Word of God. And I have another promise that said, I promise you this, that I'm going to give you a new heart, and my word is going to be written inside there, and I promise you I will remember your sin no more. And so all of a sudden, I had stamped on that one verse exempt. And that doesn't mean that I don't right now give account. But it means we don't go through that and do that again. I was so relieved to find that out. Now, let me share another verse with you that I used to not like because it scared me. And if it scared me, I thought, my Lord, there's people who are living a lot rougher than you are, and they'll probably be scared out of their wits when they do this. This is from Hebrews chapter number 6. Here's what it says. It says, for it's impossible. There's verse number 4. It's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift. How many of you, do you feel like a new birth or an enlightenment? And you've tasted of the heavenly gift? Okay. And have become partakers of the Holy Spirit. Thank God. And have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. If they fall away. If they fall away. It's impossible for those people, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucified for themselves the Lord of glory all over again. I used to read that and I just, I don't think I understand that one fully. We'll just wait on that one. And I don't want to think about that. Because guess what I'd already done? I'd already fallen away. But I'm going to tell you something. See, God sees things differently than you see them. You remember, to be carnally minded is what? Death. That means outwardly minded is death. But to be spiritually minded, what is spirit? Is it outward or inward? To be spiritually minded is life. And man looks on the outward appearance and God looks on the heart. And 2 Corinthians 4 says, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen, because the things that are not seen are eternal, and God has set his affection upon you. And now listen, I used to avoid that verse. Man, it's impossible for those people to repent. For the earth drinks in the rain that often comes on it, bears herbs. Now, look, verse number 9. But after it says that, here's that turnaround again. When you have a but, that conjunction, it's a turnaround. It's not an add to, it's a turnaround. But, beloved, my version says we are confident. Old King James says we are persuaded. Here's that persuasion again. It comes out of your faith. Come on. He says, but we are persuaded better things concerning you. Now, when he says that, yeah, Nancy.
For I know him whom I believe
in,
and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day.
There's that persuasion. Be fully persuaded. I know who I have believed. So have you always lived up to it? Does all your attitudes live up to that one that you fully believe in? Have you fallen from? But listen, but I'm in the midst of that. This is what I'm wanting to do. We got this teeter-totter going again. And either I'm going to come down and say, whew, this is cursing or this is blessing. And he says this about me, I'm persuaded better things of you. When he says I'm persuaded better things of you, I had to hear it right because I said, well, be persuaded all you want. I've fallen a lot of times. But he says, I'm not persuaded. That's not what I'm talking about. He said, I'm persuaded better things of you, that you are not what you see and what you say and what is being said of you. I'm persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. All right. Well, all right. Mary read these verses and that shows the argument. Mary, can you do 8 and 39?
For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
That's that being fully persuaded again. And you need to hear what the Lord's saying to you in the midst of everything that's going on. 2 Timothy 1 and verse number 5, listen to this. Paul is talking to young Timothy. Timothy no doubt felt intimidated and being around somebody who's strong in the Lord, and he was just getting started. But Paul tells him this. He's starting with verse 3. He says, I thank God whom I serve with pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. There was the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois. I'm just trying to encourage you a little bit. Stand up and let your faith be known. Which was seen first in your... She was the demonstration of the persuasive speech, wasn't she? Which was seen first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice. And I am persuaded that it's in you. Paul, looking at a young man, you hate to use yourself, but it comes to life in you. I was a young person on the fence, wanting to, make money and do something else, and gambling and smoking and doing all kinds of stuff, and yet I had parents who believed and kept speaking out of their faith. Words that kept persuading me. And so I was teetering back and forth, and then Candy got saved and excited about God. And we started going to church, and I wasn't in. I was showing up, but I wasn't part of it, And the Holy Spirit opened up the eyes of a pastor who came to me at the end of a service and said, Gary, the Holy Spirit showed me that you're going to be a worship leader here in our church. And would you like to start in a couple weeks? And I just confessed to him, I'm in no shape to, I love God, and I know one of these days, he said, you probably heard the story. I said, I had a pack of cigarettes, and back then in a holiness church, you didn't do those things. And I had my cigarettes and stuff still on me right there in church. And I knew I couldn't imagine him having somebody participate in a worship service that was living like I was living. So he had to be persuaded. Do you see what an act of faith that was? But what I wanted to share with you is he was so willing to obey God that he spoke it to me. And it persuaded me. I said, I've got habits and you don't want me. He says, I told God that. That's what I told him. He says, he didn't seem to bat an eye over it. So he says, I'm just agreeing with him. And I thought, man, if somebody believes in me that much. We went home and Candy and I sat down and decided, and we turned our lives around that day. That Paul telling Timothy, I'm persuaded of the calling that's in you. I just want you to know that you're going to have, let me jump down to my end here. There's a guy named Gideon who God's going to use to be a deliverer. I won't tell you the whole story, but remember, he gets down to just a handful of men that's going to conquer thousands of men. But Gideon, you know what he thinks of himself? At the time of the call of God for him to be that deliverer, he's hiding because all these enemies are all out here. He's hiding behind a well. He's shivering in fear. And his concept of himself is he's got nothing going. And God speaks to him and says, Gideon, O mighty man of valor, mighty man of faith, mighty man of valor, mighty warrior Gideon. And he says, sheep must have the wrong. No, I'm cowering here in fear. He says, it's not how I see you. And there's that persuasive speech. And God spoke to him and told him the way he saw him. And Gideon rose up for it. I just pray for you right now, in Jesus' name, that God will speak to you. Show you how he sees you, not like you see you. So you can walk in the things that God has for you. There's this guy right here was one of the apostles, and he was strong in the flesh but weak in the spirit. And he could get cocky and say, I'd do anything for you. And he says, oh, really? You can't even before the night's over. You're going to deny me three times. So I know you think you're strong. Man, you're not strong. And he hadn't learned to use his faith yet. But Jesus believed in him. Did you know it? Says, Peter, the devil has sought to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. Jesus spoke, as my friend Jim, the measure of faith that's in him. We speak to that measure of faith that's in him. And we pray for you that your faith fail not. That measure of faith that you'll be able to apply your heart to, that build on that for every one of us, that measure of faith. And then so this guy who winds up, he's denying the Lord three times and walking away from him cursing. It's a fine way for an apostle to act. Then the Holy Spirit's poured out on the day of Pentecost. And God says, I choose you to be the preacher today and to tell them what's going on here. We're going to go to the house of Cornelius, get the Gentiles filled with the Holy Spirit. I choose you, Peter, to do it. Hear what the Lord's saying about you. There was this young lady named Esther, remember? She had a cousin, Mordecai, and you remember Ahasuerus is king, and Esther is a Jewish, and the decree has been made for all the Jewish people to be killed, but she becomes the queen, and so God's done something wonderful in her. She doesn't have faith to believe that could even happen to her, So she has to be persuaded that, no, go ahead, believe. And she gets that queen status. Now she's in the palace, and all this is going on for the people out here, and all this judgment and this death is going to be passed on to them. And she needs somebody to persuade her that God's calling is on her life. Mordecai, I don't know all the things he spoke to her, but I imagine it was something like, honey, Are you really going to spend your life just trying to enjoy all the blessings of this palace while all these people are suffering like they are? You don't understand that God's hand is upon you and he has put you in this place. I'm talking about a persuasive speech. Esther, the call of God is on you. You're going to be an intercessor. You're going to stand in the gap for lost humanity. People are going to be saved because of what the Holy Spirit is going to be doing in you. And she started to lean over that way. See, she turned toward that. Just telling you, you're going to be drawn away because there's an argument going on. Things that are seen, other voices that are spoken, reports that are given. Keep returning to him. Return to me, says the Lord. I'm persuaded. I started speaking this over my life over the last week since I've done this little study. I just hear the Holy Spirit speak. Every time I start to lean the other way, he says, but I'm persuaded better things of you. But I'm tempted to do that. That's what I even sometimes, so I'm so confused that I think that's what I really want to do. I want to quit. I want to give up. I want to be discouraged. I want to lay down. But I hear right on the heels of that. Hear the argument going on? Come on, I want you to be able to relate to this. I hear the argument going on, but I'm persuaded better things of you. If you believe in me, if you're going to speak that over me, all right. I'm not giving up. I am going to rise up. All right, praise God. I'm persuaded, he said. I'm persuaded of the faith that's in you. All right, almost done. What do we got? The last Acts 13, verse 43. What's that one? Or verse 13. Nope, it's, what is it? 43. Okay.
It says, now when the meeting of the synagogue had broken up, many of the Jews and of the God-fearing proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, were urging them to continue in the grace of God.
Urge, that urging there, guess what word that is? Yes, persuading them. And to be see, there was an argument going on, and there was, I just, I'm passing this on to you right now, your life, not so much your voice, might be your involving your voice too, but your life is a persuasive speech for somebody to believe God. And then chapter 26, 28 and 29. And Agrippa finally, you know what he said? Said, Paul, you almost persuaded me. Oh, I just wanted to get, when I read that, I wanted you to get that picture of that scale again. And he said, Paul was inspiring him. If you don't know the story, and he'd go home and his wife was so totally against it and all, and he was here, and the battle was going on, and the natural circumstances, and then Paul would tell him again, and he'd say, Paul, I'm almost persuaded. I just thought, oh, what a sad thing to be almost persuaded. The definition of faith is to be fully persuaded, something that you're fully persuaded of. And then if you're persuaded, you are inwardly certain, even though there's an argument going on. I just want you to be persuaded tonight, and then I want you to be those who can be used to persuade others. Sometimes, you know, we all make this ourselves the center of our universe. We can't help it hardly because all is going on in me. And so I think, oh, praise God, I got this. But Paul learned this. He said, when it does happen in me, I realize that it happened in me so I can share it with you. And so not only does God want to bless David, but he wants to make David a blessing. Not only does God want to release healing power in Jim, but he wants to use Jim to release healing power in somebody else, to see that flow, see a river of life flow like that. Not only does he want to deliver you, he wants to give you a testimony and wants to make your life a persuasive speech so that you can persuade others and you, the impact that you'll have. How many of you have had somebody impact your life? Let's give thanks for it. Lord, we thank you for the impact that you've had on us. Thank you for persuading us. So, Lord, now we can say, I'm persuaded. Hallelujah. I'm persuaded that you're able to keep that which I've committed unto you against that day. I'm persuaded that neither life nor death nor anything that is present or anything that's going to come can keep me away from the love of God. And Lord, I just want to yield my life to you to be able to persuade somebody in the faith. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. Bless your name, Lord. Praise God. Amen. So, anybody want to confess? Is there an argument? How many of you feel the argument going on right now? I've got it in several areas. What are you going to do? Build up your faith. Has he left you without help? Nope. Is there a voice you can hear that'll be the voice of healing? Shut off the others. Avail yourself to him. Somebody says, you know, you don't want to get into work saying you have to go to church all the time. You have to read your Bible all the time. You have to praise all the time. You have to. No, you don't have to. You get to. And it's just, if you want to see the see the scales tip and build yourself up in your most holy faith. I started to say earlier, those of you that understand something about charisma, charis, the gifts of the Spirit, pray in the Holy Spirit, building yourselves up in the most holy faith. There's an argument that goes on, say, oh, you don't have to do that. You don't have to. That's not for everybody. You don't have to do that. You don't have to. But it says building yourselves up. When it says praying always with all prayer and supplication, building yourself, you don't have to do those things, but you'll build yourself up. Be strong in the Lord. Build your faith. Increase our faith, Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Bless your hearts. Thanks for listening tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sunday morning, we're having, don't get scared, we're having an underwear check in service Sunday morning, and you have to come to find out what that means.